Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The culture is the culture. It's 4 to 6A to B, competitive excellence, and the brotherhood. The plan to win has never changed. So the culture here and the plan to win is always going to be here at Ohio State.
All right, we're back with another episode of 4 to 6 with A and B, your Ohio State podcast on The Athletic. And we're not, you know, the sirens aren't on here. It's not, we're not in pure emergency podcast territory, but some stuff's happening. And we thought it was prudent for myself, Bill Landis, and Ari Wasserman to get back on the microphone here and talk a little bit about what's going on with Ohio State, what's going on with the Big Ten. Been kind of a weird 48 hours. Ohio State shut down voluntary workouts because of a spike in positive COVID-19 testing. We'll talk a little bit about that. The big news on Thursday was that Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten will be playing only conference games in the fall, assuming that there is a fall in 2020. And also, not related to Ohio State at all, I had to postpone my wedding because we're in the middle of a pandemic and shit happens. So, you know, it's affecting everybody. I got a beer. We're good to go. Ari, how you feeling?
You know, I'm not wearing a shirt right now, and I was out in the pool, and I was reading everything from my phone on poolside, and Landis was telling me about his wedding, and I felt pretty terrible about it. I feel good that I saved a few $100 for a wedding gift, but I do hope that that gets resolved. And it's just a pretty crappy time, you know? I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like, it's just tough, you know? And it's not just affecting college football people. It's affecting all of our lives, too. And, you know, it's just a weird time. And every single day that goes by, it's changing ever so much more. So I'm happy that we're doing this, and sorry about your wedding, man. I hope your relationship is still good.
Yeah.
You're not using this as a guise to...
I had to text people and say
some personal problems.
I had to text everyone and say the wedding's off, but then I had to say, like, it's like we're still together. Like, we're not, we didn't decide to break up. We just decided to not have a wedding. But, you know, we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll do it next summer. I'm not too bummed out about it, actually. I think it's probably for the best. But listen, there's some serious stuff happening. This was not going to be like a solely serious kind of somber deal we're doing here. I think we're going to try to have a little bit of fun with the news that came out about the conference only schedule, and maybe talk about what college football might look like if it happens in the fall or happens in the spring too. But Ari, let's talk about the news at hand first. This decision coming down from the Big Ten on Thursday, and maybe some other leagues will follow, about playing conference only games in 2020. And we don't know when it's going to start. We don't know how many it's going to be. We don't know who Ohio State's going to play. All we know is that if they play in the fall, their schedule is going to look drastically different than what we expected it to be, and it'll be only Big Ten opponents. So when you heard this, I can't imagine you were surprised. I wasn't surprised either. I think we felt like for a while this was what was coming. But now that we're sort of in it and it's happening, or at least it's the plan moving forward, how do you feel about it? Do you think it's the right move? How do you think it impacts Ohio State's season? How does it change maybe the way you were feeling about the season? Anything going on in your head?
I think the idea that Ohio State bought itself some time so they can have a season makes sense. And like, I think if you think about it from a positive standpoint, you say, well, Ohio State and the Big Ten, and now if college football falls suit, just bought themselves another month. Because if they can somehow get out of the weeds here a little bit, cases go down, people start doing what they're supposed to do, you know, things start progressing in the right direction. And as we had in a personal texting conversation the other day, that we've learned that things can change drastically with this, then, you know, they can still have a season. So, like, I don't think that everything is completely off the rails just yet. But I do think that as the last few weeks passed by and we're getting closer and closer to the kickoff, because what are we, 7 weeks away from when they were supposed to start the season?
A little more than that. I think it's nine.
Yeah, 8 weeks or nine, yeah. But, like, there was no plan or understanding of what it was going to look like, and I felt like as the cases continued to arise and the silence of the plan continued to go, it's just like my mind is just like, how are they going to do this? So I think that this is a really good step for something that they have to do, you know, at this point. And as Gene Smith said, the number one thing about this was buying time. And I think that, you know, that was the number one enemy of college football, you know, going into, you know, Thursday morning. So I like the idea that there are options. As you mentioned, spring football is, you know, the last of what they want to do, but it's still on the table, and they're still just trying to figure out logistically how they're going to do this. I think playing Big Ten opponents only limits travel, limits exposure, limits some hairy things that you're going to have to deal with, rather than flying across the country to Eugene and staying in hotels that they're not familiar with. And, you know, because Ohio State's made these road trips 1,000 times. They know how to do it the right way. But, you know, that's the positive side. The negative side is this is just the latest domino to fall until all of them fall. And, like, right now, not to be a pessimist, but based on the way that things are going, it feels like this is just the latest domino in my heart and that this is going to continue until there's no season. But I also think that if things go the right way, we're going to be in a good spot and they can still have college football. I think they could determine a national champion with a Big Ten-only schedule. I think if the other conferences do the same thing and everybody gets on the same page, they can still do it. It's just a matter of being at the mercy of what we're seeing nationally with the cases and how you know, they feel they need to be in terms of whether they can play based on those cases.
That was an interesting thing that came out of Gene Smith's teleconference on Thursday, and you asked him the question. I think you asked him the question, and somebody else asked him a similar question, just like, what needs to be sort of the state of affairs in order for you guys to feel good about having a college football season? And, like, he didn't really have an answer, which I suppose isn't surprising, but it just shed, I think, even a brighter light on the idea that, like, if you're certain about what's going to happen either way, I would, you know, advise against that, because there's just so much that can change between now and even July 24th, when it's supposed to ramp up into, like, walkthroughs and 20 hour a week practice sessions, and then on August 6th when it's supposed to go in training camp. Like, we have no idea what the world is going to look like then, or the country, I guess, is more importantly, what's going to is going to look like then. And to assume, I think, is a little bit dangerous. But I think the news to me was, like, simultaneously, like, sort of a bad omen for where things are heading, but also a little bit encouraging, because I do think it's important to just buy yourself as much time as possible. And that's what they're doing here. They're buying themselves time. They're affording themselves flexibility. Like, Gene Smith said the word flexibility at least 10 times in his 35-minute teleconference. And it's the idea of, we're only playing conference games. Maybe it's 10, but we have the full allotment, basically, of September through November to figure out how to play 10 games. And if there's a stoppage, maybe we can work around it. If we have to reschedule games, maybe we can work around that. And part of that sounds a little pie in the sky to me. I just don't know if that's feasible to get a college football season going where you're constantly stopping and starting. But it's good to have options. So I think it's good that the Big Ten made options for itself. The feasibility of it, I'm not sure. Like, the postseason implications, I'm not sure, because, like, the Big Ten has announced this. I think there's an anticipation that the Pac-12 will announce something similar. There was reporting from people like Bruce Feldman that the ACC was leaning in that direction, and then Matt Fortuna, who also works for The Athletic, said, like, the ACC is holding off on that. So, and the SEC is like, we're playing all our games, which is not surprising. So there's not uniformity here, which is not shocking at all in college football. I think ultimately for the sport to exist in some version that's, like, vaguely reminiscent to what we've come to expect of it, there has to be uniformity, and maybe we'll get there at some point. We're still early stages on some of this stuff. But in terms of postseason implications, I have no idea what it's going to look like. But they're going to try to play and play an all-conference season, and I think in the end it's prudent decision-making to – you're essentially punting on it a little bit, and I get that, and the optics of that aren't great, but I don't think you need to make like rash decisions yet. Because I'm just not of the mind that like playing football in and of itself is the wrong decision. Maybe it is, and maybe I'm not even thinking that. But I think trying to figure out a way to do it makes sense, at least right now. Maybe it won't make sense 5 weeks from now. But at the moment, it makes sense to do something like this to give yourself a better chance of it happening. I'm on board with.
The troubling thing I have, Bill, and you tell me, because I think you and I don't always see eye to eye on stuff, but I think we have good conversation, which is why this podcast is the best podcast in America. But I think it's a very bad sign that they couldn't even get out of the blocks of voluntary workouts without all this unraveling. Now, I don't think that today's news was specifically as a result of what Ohio State did on Wednesday. Would you say that's fair, or do you think
they're not linked at all? No,
they're not linked, right? So, but they every single team that's been doing voluntary workouts is having outbreaks within their thing, within their own little bubble. So, like, once teams start actually hitting each other and having more intense, sweaty practices where bodily fluids are flying around, like, I don't know how you avoid this. And, like, I asked this question to Gene Smith on the call, and I thought this was important. Do you view that this, that everybody involved in college football has to accept the idea that people are going to catch this while playing? There has to be some level of acceptance that this is still going to spread, because if the answer is nobody can catch it, then I don't think that that's a feasible thing. So I think that there needs to be some sort of, you know, olive branch extended that people who are participating in this understand that there's a risk involved, and if it happens, they're going to have to deal with them individually, and they have to resign themselves to the idea that they can't contain it, at least not 100%. And based on what you just said about playing 10 games in all those weeks between September and November, I think that that's what he's saying, that they might pause or they might have to delay games or postpone them. Or, you know, I think that, again, it's options. It's all speculation, but it's options. So once college football gets all on the same page in terms of resigning themselves to the idea that people are going to get sick while they do this and that they're going to forge on through it, then it becomes more feasible. But until we understand and define the guidelines of what is acceptable for unpaid athletes to do in a physical sport, I don't even know how you get out of the block. So I'd like to understand, like, what is being discussed behind the scenes on what is a, not only just for optics, but just a common decency thing for people to get sick. And the thing that I've noticed, too, about a lot of the mentions that I've had on Twitter and discussions that I've had with other people is that there's this obsession or this discussion about mortality rate. And it's not about mortality rate. I understand that the people who are playing this are 18 to 23-year-old, in shape, really well, you know, conditioned athletes. But bad things can happen between healthy and death. Like, it's not just those two things. So I think that the NCAA and people like Gene Smith and the people who are in charge need to understand what is the risk, how do we mitigate that risk, and what are we willing to live with in terms of those risks. Because if there are long-term lung, you know, I don't know if I'm going off the rails here a little bit, but you do need to have an understand and accept what those risks are before you even get going.
I think everyone involved in this, administrators, coaches, players, understands the risk. I don't think we're in a situation where there's not been enough education. Like, to go back to the news of Ohio State shutting down voluntary workouts, I was talking with some parents of players on the team. And, you know, I don't want to assume that they're representative of everyone, because everyone can have varying opinions. But the people that I talked to said that, like, the coaching staff and the medical staff has been very transparent about what's happening. They've been very helpful. They've been answering questions. They've been understanding. Any concerns have been addressed in an appropriate way. So, like, everything's on the table here. I don't think anyone's trying to be deceitful in an effort to get a season off the ground. Everyone is aware of the risks involved. But, like, scientists, doctors aren't totally knowledgeable about what all the risks are or what they might not be. I think there's, and I'm not trying to take this in a, I don't want this to go in the wrong direction, but what I'm trying to say is that they're still trying to gather information, I think. I don't think they know yet what an acceptable threshold, if that's even the right word, would be to get a season off the ground. I think what this decision they made on Thursday does is allow them time to keep figuring that out and get to a place where they either feel comfortable or they don't feel comfortable doing a season. Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, was on Big Ten Network on Thursday night and said, like, look, we might not have football. And Gene Smith said the same thing. Like, he said, I am concerned that we won't have football because this is trending not in a great direction. And I think he is mentally preparing himself for the idea that they might not have football. I'm not saying that that's what they wish or that's what ultimately is going to happen, but I think you have to prepare yourself for the worst while buying your time to try, buying yourself time to try to figure this out. And that's what they're doing. But this was like, this is a significant development in this because, and I wrote this in a story that's on The Athletic right now, as you're listening to this, there's been a lot of conjecture about this. Like, we've talked about it. People we work with have written about it. People at other media companies have talked about it. And I understand it's generated a lot of consternation on Twitter. I get that. It's a hot button issue. This isn't media and it's not fans giving their opinions on things. You can just like dismiss and ignore if it doesn't line up with what your opinion is. Like, these are the people who are making the decisions about what's going to happen, telling you like, we're not sure if this is going to work. So I think it's worth paying attention to, even if you don't agree with what the ultimate result might be. But I think you can look at this the other way too. I don't think you have to be doom and gloom about this. I do think there is value in buying yourself time. And I don't mean to be repetitive, but I just want to hammer that point home. Like, I don't think either of us are sitting here saying like, well, this is the next step towards them being screwed and there's not going to be football in the fall. Maybe there won't be, but I actually think this is more I feel marginally and just marginally better about there being a season after today than I did like this morning when I woke up, because this showed me that at least there are some people who are in charge of putting this together are willing to make sacrifices and necessary changes and make moves and like take safety into account when trying to get a season off the ground. So
this is much different to you than the NCAA tournament where they canceled the conference tournaments, then they canceled this and then they canceled that. This feels different to you because there's a progression in the right direction of what needs to be done to mitigate these risks.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't, do you think that's the wrong way to look at it? But that's kind of how I feel.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's the right way to do it. I don't know how else to... There's no other way to do it or to view it. It's other options to see where things go. Nobody knows what the numbers in this country with the virus are going to look like in 3 weeks. Having more options and giving yourself more leeway to come up with a solution to the problem is always a step in the right direction. Whether or not I think there's going to be football or you think there's going to be football doesn't mean shit because we don't know what it's going to be. So I think from that standpoint, what you said makes perfect sense.
All right, so let's touch on this briefly. The idea that Ohio State shut down workouts on Wednesday. And the timing is coincidental. One didn't have anything to do with the other. I think we all felt that it was trending towards a conference-only season long before Ohio State announced on Wednesday that it was canceling workouts. There's also a story about this on The Athletic if you want to go ahead and read it. TheAthletic.com/4-6 still gets you 40% off a subscription to The Athletic. The gist that I'll give you is that I don't think there's any number of positive tests where you can just be like, oh, well, it's not that many. But at the same time, I think there is an assumption that At a certain point, athletes are going to test positive for this, and it's about how you can handle it and the steps you can take to keep people safe and keep things moving forward. And if it becomes untenable, then you start making hard decisions. But from everything I've learned, the number of positive tests across the 7 sports that are currently working out at Ohio State, it's not just football, is pretty low. Low, at least compared to some of the numbers we've heard out of other programs. And I hesitate to compare it because it's not about that, but this was not an outbreak of any kind, at least not yet. And I think that Ohio State, and the way it was described to me, was working with an abundance of caution. I think there was even some surprise that they shut down workouts given what the number of positive tests were. There's more results to come in, and maybe that's why. They just wanted to get ahead of it in case some more do come back positive, and they didn't want to be working out and being around each other if that's the case. I think that's smart. But this is not an overly concerning issue to me. I think this is the cost of doing business, for lack of a better term, when you're trying to play college athletics and work out in this environment in a pandemic. But
what happens, Bill, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but what happens when this happens in fall camp? I mean, maybe we'll get to that.
Well, the idea, again, in buying yourself time is you try to figure out what that means. And, you know, we don't know the speed at which you get back test results could be greatly improved by the time the season comes around. And maybe if you have a positive and you isolate that person and you can test people, and if you have enough negatives to field a team, you go play. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend like I know the answer to that, but
yeah, options is the key here.
I don't think it's impossible or even, you know, unethical at this point. But to get back to my original point, what I was saying, I think that you could see Ohio State back working out maybe like as soon as next week. This happened on Wednesday. I think you could see them back on Wednesday or maybe at the following Monday, but it's not going to be a long-term shutdown. I think Ohio State was being overly cautious with that. So I just wanted to explain that before we, I guess, move on to some more entertaining, some more fun stuff as it relates to this and trying to... Actually, let's do this before we do that. There are like contractual things that come up with this in terms of Ohio State's non-conference opponents, and there's not a whole lot of specifics, but in case you're wondering, Ohio State was supposed to pay Bowling Green $1.2 million, was supposed to pay Buffalo $1.8 million. The money...
And they're supposed to pay Bill $1.5 million, right?
Ohio State and Oregon were to pay each other $300,000, but that's like... This is a real game. We're covering each other's cost of travel. That's not a big hurdle in my mind. The Oregon game's not happening this year. Gene Smith made it sound like it might not happen next year. Or they're going to try to figure some stuff out on how to move this series forward, or maybe they can play a one-off neutral site game next week. I don't know if Ohio State's going to be able to – sorry, next year. If Ohio State's going to be able to get out of the contracts with Buffalo and Bowling Green, there's a lot of stuff of what – like I get it. Like this sucks for the MAC. It ain't the Big Ten's problem. Like if you're a MAC program and your conference is existence is solely dependent on getting handouts from major conferences, then like maybe you shouldn't be in Division One. I don't know. Like I feel bad saying that, and I feel bad for the kids who are on those teams. But like
it's, you're gonna get a lot of crap for people in Ohio saying
it's
that.
Just
brace yourself.
It's not the Big Ten's problem. It's not.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, but it's just like there's so many Ohio MAC programs, and those programs tend to be places that mean a lot to people who are connected to Ohio State, and I understand that, you know, that's the way it is, but, you know, how many MAC programs are there in Ohio for?
No, I mean, there's Kent State, there's Akron, there's Miami, there's Toledo. Am I missing any? Bowling Green? Did I say Bowling Green? Like, there's a lot. Yeah. No, I'm not demeaning the programs. I understand that people care about those programs.
No,
there's some
I
good
agree
football
with you,
played at those programs too. I'm not saying that, but like the Big Ten can't be making decisions like while considering the MAC. It's just like you got to look out for number one in this situation, and maybe that's callous, but I think like that's the real world, and I hope that the MAC and these other, you know, G5 leagues can figure out, or G6, whatever it is, can figure out how to exist past this year if they're not going to be able to play these non-conference games. But these power leagues have to look out for themselves first. It's just like it's the food chain.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So sorry if I offended anyone who listens to this who's a Bowling Green or Toledo fan. That wasn't my intention, but I also think that like if you took the news and were like, wow, the Big Ten's screwing over the MAC, it's like, what are they supposed to do?
I mean, the thing about it, Bill, is that something unprecedented in the recent human history is happening, and it's just like some people are going to suffer and some aren't. And it's just the harsh reality of the situation that we're in. And if the programs that are using the non-conference games to fund their entire athletic departments miss out on that, then that's just the byproduct of what's going on here. And I agree 100% with you. And my favorite thing to do in the world is watch MACtion on Wednesday or Thursday nights, you know, when it's going there. And I mean, people love that stuff. I'm not trying to, you know, I agree 100%. It's just, it's dollars and cents sometimes. It's just simple subtraction. And sometimes you can't do anything other than that.
And I don't know. Gene Smith said he's going to have conversations with those athletic directors in more detail next week. He strongly intimated, Gene Smith, that if there is no football this fall, that Ohio State will be okay. Ohio State is highly profitable as an athletic department. They make a ton of money. Football generates a lot of it. They have some money stored off in coffers somewhere that might be able to help them out. I don't think they'd be in a position to, you know, essentially be nice to Bowling Green and Buffalo and give them a little something, even if it's not the full what they agreed on. But I guess that's possible. Or maybe they just schedule games for 2027, and I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen with those, but I think that's kind of the least of Ohio State's worries right now. All right.
Yeah.
Big Ten schedule. Let's talk about what this might look like. So we think if they – it seems like there is strong motivation to make this a 10-game season, which would mean you play the teams in your division, six games, and then you play four outside of your division. Do you think they're going to set it up in a way that front loads the division games so you can figure out who is in theory, going to play in a conference championship game should the season be stopped? Do you think they'll just take what they have now scheduled and just like move it up and then tackle on a game at the end? Like, what do you think this is going to look like? And then we'll talk about who we'd like to see Ohio State play out of the West.
Well, here's the thing. If they play, they have to play. How many games? Let's see if we can come to an agreement on this. How many games do you think need to be played before you'd be willing to name somebody a conference champion or a division champion?
All six of your division games.
Okay, so I would front load all six of your division games, if possible, in a round robin fashion for the first six games of the year. And do it so that you get the most important things to determine a champion, at least from a divisional standpoint, out of the way, because you want to mitigate that risk by putting them all up front, right? Like, I think that just sounds, to me, it's just like the obvious thing to do. Put them all in the front part of the schedule. It's going to be tough, but it also might be super entertaining as a result of it, because it's all condensed and there's no, you know, weeks or games that don't matter. And, you know, try to get through those six games before there's any incident. And then at that point, if things are going well, then you can do other Big Ten teams from the other side of the conference for tiebreakers or entertainment or wins or whatever you need to do in order to design that. Now, somebody asked Gene Smith on the call on Thursday, like, how do you plan on determining a Big Ten champion? And he was just like, we're just trying to figure out how to play a football game here. But like, this is how I would design it. Like, could you imagine a season where like, and like, this is going to, I don't know if this is going to make people mad, but like, you're not playing Michigan in November this year. Like, okay, it happens. Like,
I think that is, I am like 95% certain that that's not going to happen in November.
What if Ohio State opens with Michigan?
God, could you imagine?
Like, in a world where we're, like, worried about, like, games being canceled, like, just let's start with the big show.
Load up on all your best TV inventory first, yeah.
Yeah, like, what if Ohio State's, like, first three games are at Michigan, or home against Michigan, at Penn State, then Michigan State?
Would not surprise me one bit if that's what they decide to do.
Well, to me, if you're trying to jam stuff together, let's make it as entertaining and great as possible. Like, honestly, if the season got canceled after four games, wouldn't you want to watch those four? Like, we lost the Oregon game. Let's put the games, like, I mean, I don't want Ohio State to play Maryland and Rutgers and the season get postponed or canceled. Like, I want to see them play Michigan.
I think I tweeted something out, like, as a joke, like, right after the news came out, and I said something along the lines of, like, all right, here's my schedule. Ohio State plays Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, I think it was Wisconsin, and what was the other one? Minnesota. It was basically Ohio State plays the five best teams in the conference, and then they run it back again the next 5 weeks and play the same five teams again. And like, it was a joke, and people were like, well, they wouldn't do that. That's too rigorous of a schedule. I wrote a story last year that pissed people off when Ohio State had to close its season out with Penn State, Michigan, and the Big Ten championship, just like floating out the idea that maybe the Big Ten would like to give its best team a somewhat more navigable path to get to the college football playoff. And
people got so mad about
it. Which, like, I get. I totally get. But
fans from other teams that wish that, yeah.
But, like, the answer I got from the Big Ten was, like, yeah, we don't care. So, like, they wouldn't care about making Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State all play each other in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Well, do you think that if Ohio State had to play Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, and Wisconsin in consecutive weeks, that's a safety issue? Like, it's no different than playing five normal games anyway, right? Like, just because those teams are physical and good doesn't mean that it's any more or less rigorous than playing Bowling Green, Oregon, Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan State than Penn State. Like, I don't know if everybody always with their Big Ten cliches of, oh, we played Wisconsin, that was a street fight, right? Thanks for that little word there, Urban. But, like, it's just, I don't know, like, it might be hard, but, like, I don't think it's any more or less dangerous than playing the regular schedule. And, like, let's just, like, actually have a street fight, like Anchorman shit. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, it would be...
I think you killed a man, Brick.
It'd be really tough to do that. But, and, you know, maybe...
But do you think it's a safety issue?
No, I don't think the reason that they would not do that would be because of player safety. Like, if you were to ask me honestly, do I think that games against Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State are more physical than playing against Rutgers? Absolutely, because those teams' players are bigger, faster, and stronger than Rutgers players. But like the league would never admit that. they would never do that and like tell us that's why they were doing it.
Because then that means that the teams that aren't in that conversation aren't fit to be a part of the conference.
Right. But I also think it, like what we're talking about here, and like let's be transparent about it. We know what it is. Like they have a lucrative television contract that requires them to play games to make that money. And clearly they are worried about the possibility of starting a season and having to stop and possibly not being able to finish it. I won't be surprised one iota if a new schedule comes out and all of the best games are in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Should we name the episode, Should Ohio State Open with Michigan? Question mark.
You think people will listen to that?
Okay,
so let's talk about it.
I think, imagine though, Bill, this scenario. And like, look at me, we got some Zoom eye contact here. What if like fall camp start, like regular workouts resume, July 24th happens, fall camp happens, and the entire fall camp is preparation for the Michigan game? Like that'd be like a month long of the Michigan game. And then of course, if you play and set up the schedule for a round robin scenario where a single elimination might keep you out of the division title, like with all that's at stake, like I don't think it'd actually be fair for Ohio State because Michigan has been dying for this, and like if Michigan's ever going to beat Ohio State, I think a season opener might be like better for them. And then, of course, like getting the division title and whatever, like in a shortened season, that wouldn't be quite as fun. But like, could you imagine how awesome July and August would be? Like after this terrible, shitty time in our lives, all of us, of sitting at home without sports, do we get to enjoy for the next 6 weeks the anticipation of preparing for the best rivalry in college football?
Okay.
Like sign me up for that.
So let's just, like, knock off the charade, get rid of the bullshit, and admit what this is all about. And, like, player safety is important 100%. I don't think they're being disingenuous when they say that. But they want to play because they want to make money. And you do not make any more money than you do when Ohio State plays Michigan. And granted, there's no fans in the stands. But, like, it's the biggest TV audience in college football every year. You want to make sure you get that one going. Play it on September 5th.
That's the title of the podcast. Like, that's the whole thing here. Like, if like we started off for 30 minutes, like, talking about, like, real depressing stuff. Like, this is fun. This is, like, fun to think about. And, like, I don't know, like, how the TV contract is set up. Like, will Ohio State make more or less money by playing Rutgers than they do Michigan? No. Or is it all collective?
No, it's not. So, like, well, games don't cost more money than others to, like, put on or whatever, like the and the TV revenue is all the same, but I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Like Gene Smith said that Kevin Warren is having conversations with their TV partners, which are Fox and ESPN, about what this is going to look like. I'm sure they'll have to come to some new agreements about which networks are going to get which games now. But those networks would want to make the most of whatever situation or opportunity they have to get eyeballs on their channels. And the best opportunity to get eyeballs on your channel is to have Ohio State play Michigan. So you'd want to be sure you play that game before you play any other ones.
You don't want to play the Indiana game and then not play any other ones. And like, also I could like see this now, like in 100 years, the oral history of the time Ohio State played Michigan in September.
Yeah. Remember back in 2020 when Ohio State played one game and it was against Michigan.
That's it. Like, I'm convinced. Can I tweet that right now? Like, or do I have to wait till the
episode comes out? You have to wait. We're recording at 10:21 p.m. on Thursday night. You can wait until the following morning.
7:21. West Coast, best coast, you know?
7:21 where Ari is. Where Ari is shirtless, fresh out of the pool.
I've got a nice golden tan, too. Look at me. Don't
he
I?
He does. He looks sun-kissed.
I look like I just got done hanging out at the Turtle Bay, you know?
What would people like lose their shit when Ohio State wears wolf uniforms against Michigan? What would people do if Ohio State played Michigan on September 5th?
Well, I mean, if I don't know where you were, like, I think you were still in college. Like, how old were you when they did the Big Ten realignment? I'm only 2 years older than you, but like, were you like
Legends and Leaders?
Keenly aware of, yeah.
Was that like 2011?
Like, people were freaking out when, like, the idea of, like, what division do you put Ohio State and Michigan in? When does the game get played? Don't change the game. Don't, you know. I don't know if tradition just goes out the window because it's unprecedented circumstances for a one-off year that you're trying to make the best out of when things are going to get, like, crazy. Like, I don't know. And I don't care. Like, I think that's so stupid. Like, Urban Meyer shut it down completely. with this tradition crap where he was just like, and again, I'm not trying to say tradition doesn't matter. Please don't email me. What I understand that like part of the love of going to Ohio State game is the goosebumps you get when the band comes out of the tunnel, the Scarlet and Gray, and all the wonderful things that they've done for 100 years. And I think it makes Ohio State special. But Urban Meyer said their number one tradition is winning. And like that's what his like whole thing was when it came to the uniforms and the alternates and recruiting. And it's just like, it's 2020 and we're in a pandemic and it's just like you're not playing the game. Even if they put Michigan last on the schedule, I still don't think it's going to be the last Saturday in November or whatever it is. Like, it's an altered schedule.
They're not going to play. Rather than play. Yeah, I mean, Gene Smith, he didn't say this definitively, but he basically said, like, we're trying to align with our academic calendar, and, like, no one's going to be on campus after Thanksgiving. So we're probably not going to play on campus after Thanksgiving. Doesn't mean they can't play in Indy, maybe, for a Big Ten championship game, but I would not anticipate any game, let alone the Ohio State-Michigan game, being played on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Could be the Saturday before if they try to keep the tradition. But I'm on board with this. I'd like play it right away. Make sure it happens.
And just like, and then the following week, Michigan can go play Penn State, and Ohio State can play at Wisconsin or Michigan State to stay in the division, and then just roll out from there.
I'd give them a buffer. Like, I'd give them.
It also might.
I would give.
It would also be cool too. Like if Rutgers and Maryland played each other in the first week, and then they played Indiana, and like maybe gave one of those teams that never does anything good a chance to start off good. And maybe like create some intrigue for like middle of the year. Like, what if Maryland started off 3-0? Like, that would be fun.
Maryland started off 2-0 like, last year, and then won one more game the rest of the year.
Maryland blew out a ranked team in week two. And oh, just so you guys know, I don't know if I'm allowed to announce it, but you're having a beer, you're feeling loose. Like, you know, I took the Maryland over 3.5 wins last year, and that was torture.
I took.
I was like, after the second week Syracuse blowout, I was like, where should I buy with this money that I just won?
The
Maryland like lost 9 in a row.
Maryland won its first two games, and then they hosted like Penn State on a Friday night. Or Maryland was like 2-1 or 3-0 or something, and they hosted Penn State on a Friday night at home. And they're like 9-point home dogs, and we were out in Nebraska for the Ohio State Nebraska game, and we were in Council Bluffs, Iowa, where there's a sports book. And I was like, I'm riding with Maryland tonight because I think Mike Loxley's got it going in the right direction, and I don't think they're going to win, but they're going to keep it close. So give me Maryland with the points, and then Maryland got their doors blown off.
And what happened as a result of that?
I don't know. I lost money.
I lost money too, because we ride together when we were on the road. Yeah. But I also hit my only royal flush in video poker that night. No deuce, video poker, won a quick grand. Yeah. So I got a few hundred of that back.
All right, so Ohio State in our fake 2020 season is opening with Michigan. I think you give them a buffer. I don't think you make them go Penn State right away. Give them a Rutgers or Maryland buffer, and then maybe play Penn State the third week.
So you're out of my plan of like giving them the easy teams first, too?
Giving who the easy teams?
Like Ohio State plays Michigan, Michigan State, and this is my schedule. Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, Penn State, Rutgers, Indiana.
I think I could live with that. I just wouldn't go Michigan, Penn State back-to-back. And I wouldn't go Penn State, Ohio State back-to-back for Michigan. And I wouldn't go Michigan, Ohio State back-to-back for Penn State.
Because if there is any chance of there being a Big Ten championship game or the playoff, you don't want to put a schedule together that's going to cannibalize the Big Ten's chance of getting a team into the Final Four. So, like, I understand that completely, but it's just, like, I can't even fathom a playoff right now. Like, I can't, like, thinking, how do I preserve, like, I'm more in on let's have fun now and deal with the consequences later. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that, let's be honest with each other. Like, I don't think there's any chance, okay, I think there's a small chance that they're going to crown a legitimate national champion this year. And, like, I was talking with my dad in the pool today, and he had his shirt off, too.
That sounds great.
And we were talking just about, like, and this is going to go down an entirely different rabbit hole, so you can stop me, Bill, if it does. But, like, if one really good player gets sick during the middle of the year, and let's say that that player is somebody who takes the snaps, and you have to go on in a place where you feel like you might not have a chance to win a football game because your team is sick. If you're one of the other really good players that's going to be a draft pick, why would you risk your body during a week where somebody else in your similar position is out and you still might not have a chance to win?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the thing. It's like, if player A gets injured, then player B, who's also a first-round draft pick. No, if player A gets sick and misses the game, and then that puts Ohio State in a bad position to win the football game, why would somebody else risk their body? Like, I think there's, like, domino effects that can happen within the season. So, like, that's why I'm trying to be like, let's play as much as we can up front and then worry about, like, how stuff goes the longer we go. Because it's like, if they're playing football in November, that means we did what we were supposed to do as a country in order to like, flatten the curve again a little bit. It's like...
Yeah.
I don't know, unless you think November is what how long it's going to take or like what we need to get to a place where things are better again. But like if they're in a place where they're able to play in September, then play them.
I think that in that scenario you described a couple things. One, this idea of playing whatever it is, 8, 9, or 10 only conference games over the course of what's basically 3 full months allows you some leeway to say like, listen, we have guys who tested positive, we can't play this week. And then you just sort of adjust the whole thing. And that's the point of this. And you try to play it later. Maybe that's crazy.
And then use geography on your side, too, of like, well, Ohio State's playing Indiana this week. Michigan's playing Michigan State. One team can't play the other. We're all in the same general geographical area. Let's just do a little switcheroo here. And, like, the two healthy teams play, and then the other two, you know, or whatever. Like, because it's like, the Big Ten is... For the most part, the thing that we always talk about being in this conference as reporters is how quickly we can get to most colleges by driving. But there are a few road trips, especially in the Big Ten West and Rutgers in Maryland, that get kind of dicey. So, like, things can get weird. And it's really not that, like, I don't know if you can make the argument that Nebraska and Rutgers are on the same geographical footprint. But, like, for the most part, they should be able to kind of line things up and switch them around.
Should we, if we're campaigning for Ohio State to open against Michigan, should we also just openly campaign for like Nebraska to be replaced by Notre Dame?
Yes. Well, like, how many games are there? So it's like, how would you fit Notre Dame? Because I think that's a really good idea. And like, I'm not an expert on Notre Dame. They're not in a conference. And if everybody's not playing non-conference, I don't know where that leaves them.
Well, they play.
So like, do they play? Like, are they going to latch on to the ACC this year? Like, I don't like know like how they're going to do that.
They play. I'm looking it up right now because I don't want to get the number wrong. They are like tangentially related to the ACC. So this year, and I guess this is the same every year, they play 6 ACC games. I think that's what it is every year. They play 6 ACC games. But they would have to play at least 10, I would think, to be even considered for the playoff that we'll pretend is going to happen. Like, they're not, they're supposed to play Wisconsin. That's not happening. They have Navy on their schedule. We don't know what the, like, Navy's in the American. We don't know what the American's going to do. They have Arkansas on their schedule. The SEC says it's going to play. They have Western Michigan. Western Michigan would love to play that game. So I don't know if Notre Dame's necessarily going to be hurting for opponents. It just depends if there's uniformity and everyone goes to conference only. Then I don't know what they do. But if they were like half in the ACC and like half in the Big Ten, sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, but how would that look? Because here's the thing that Gene Smith said, and I don't remember if you said this at the beginning, so stop me if you did, but like uniformity is important. Like, so like if they're going to play the games, and like even in this like fake conference schedule that we just made up, like, the other teams that are going to supposedly make the playoff have to play the same amount of games. Like, I don't think that we're going to get... Are we going to be on the college football playoff call in November saying, well, Notre Dame only played 6 games and won them all, and Ohio State went 9-1. Like, I don't know how you even equate that. So, like, I just don't know, like, if you pencil them in, which teams in the Big Ten, do we just do it... Do we just say, screw it, we're doing TV only? Ohio State is going to play Notre Dame because Michigan always plays Notre Dame. And, like, I don't know how that works because the Notre Dame-Michigan game is supposedly canceled right now.
Well, they're not supposed to. They weren't supposed to play this year anyway.
Add them into the conference and then play, what, the best teams ever? Like, is Ohio State playing Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, and Notre Dame 4 out of their 10 games?
I mean...
Make up for Oregon?
I think it's possible... It's a like Notre Dame's a fascinating question, and like what's going to like we Pete Sampson covers Notre Dame for us. He's an incredible beat writer. He's been around that program forever. So like if you're interested in what's going to happen with Notre Dame, I suggest you follow Pete's work. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't think it's impossible that they play their 6 ACC games and just like pretend they're a full member of that conference. And I don't know if they pick up four more ACC opponents that maybe wouldn't work out when you're trying to make balanced schedules. But maybe instead of like Ohio State playing a fourth Big Ten West team, they play Notre Dame. And the same for like Michigan and maybe Michigan State. Like these teams that have histories, you know, then they're to different levels with Notre Dame. But certainly Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State are like classic college football matchups. If you put them with Notre Dame, I think you could do that. Maybe Penn State. Penn State hasn't played Notre Dame in a while. When I was in school, they played them. But it's been since then, since that happened. But I don't know. I think it's possible. I have no clue what you do with that team because they're the only league that they're geographically linked with is the Big Ten. If you talk about Notre Dame leaving Indiana to go play Big Ten games, they are leaving their footprint by a pretty significant stretch.
I love it. I love it.
It's an interesting discussion for sure.
It's an interesting discussion and something that when we're talking about it, also, let's try to make this as fun as possible. Like we've all been sitting here all summer not being able to do anything and haven't even been able to watch a baseball game. It's like, why not make this the best? So why don't we both go? I already kind of went, add Notre Dame into mine somewhere. But like, give me your best Ohio State fake schedule on Thursday, July 9th.
Okay, so you open against Michigan, and that game's in Columbus.
So we agree on
that. Yeah. Okay, I'm just writing this down as we go. Then we'll go, I would like to give a buffer after that, because that game, even if it's a blowout, that game is always kind of a little bit of a physical battle. So I would give them a buffer, and I would say you play Rutgers next, and that's also at home. Rutgers at home. Then I'll put them home again. I'll say Michigan State in the third game. Good game, not the best game, but you're home three straight weeks, and then you go on the road to Penn State in the fourth week of the season. And then in the 4 weeks in, you've knocked out your three main division games. And then let's just tack on Maryland after that because they're a patsy, and that's a physical game. And then Indiana to round out your division games. So we're six games in. We got everybody in the division off the board. Then we'll go Notre Dame.
Just to like create like a buffer between the East and
right.
West?
Home or away, whatever. I don't care. Play it in Dayton for all I care. There's not going to be fans anyway. So that's game seven, Notre Dame. You got three more, and they're from the West. I would go.
I think we know which.
So I want them to play like the best teams from the West, but I also like kind of want to make it fair. So I don't know if I'd give them quite all three because I don't want to make this like a gauntlet. You know what
Who
I mean?
Who are your three best? Like I would give them Nebraska.
I think I'd give them Nebraska, which like might be good, probably isn't as good as everyone thinks they're going to be. So I would go.
But also entertaining.
Right. So I would go Nebraska right after Notre Dame, and then close it out with Wisconsin, just in case Wisconsin wins the West and you don't want to play them back-to-back weeks in the Big Ten Championship,
right.
And then Minnesota to close it out.
So you would be opening with the best or the one of the best games that Ohio State can ever play in against Michigan, and then you're closing them out against the two best teams from the West, and then you have in the middle of the schedule sandwich with Penn State and Notre Dame.
Yeah, Penn State and Notre Dame are
separated by a bunch of games.
Two games in between. I would also consider Purdue, because that would be fun to see a Purdue rematch. And maybe you put Purdue in there instead of Nebraska. Let's do that. Let's get Nebraska out of there. We'll do Purdue.
I think Nebraska's better. I was on board with the schedule you made.
I want to watch Ron Dunmore.
Okay, then watch him when they play Illinois on Big Ten Network. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, fine.
Nebraska will be a better game, especially if you can make it at Nebraska. I don't know if that's feasible with the schedule and travel distance, but I think that Nebraska's a more intriguing game than Purdue.
Okay, so we'll do home against Michigan, home against Rutgers, home against Michigan State, at Penn State, at Maryland, home against Indiana, home against Notre Dame, at Nebraska. Alternate site, Notre Dame. I'll do that. Alternate. Because it's a one-off. It's a special year, you know? Yeah, site, Notre Dame.
The Corona Bowl.
Road game against Nebraska. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you go home against Wisconsin and Minnesota. I think they're going to try to give teams six home games and four road games.
Yeah.
So if we made Notre Dame a special one-off in wherever... Toledo.
Yeah.
Then Wisconsin and Minnesota.
It'd be Fort Wayne.
Yeah, Fort Wayne.
It'd be in Fort Wayne.
Austin Mac High School.
How much fun did you just have? Did it kind of make you feel like you're playing NCAA?
I think I solved the problem for the Big Ten. Maybe I'll give Gene Smith a call.
okay, that's our official 4-6 with A and B schedule, which we will tease on Friday. But the one last thing, I know you're the host. I don't mean to hijack you this, but do you want to like go off the rails for 10 minutes about spring football?
But only for 10 minutes because I don't want to be.
I mean, we're at 48 minutes of recording. I'm going to close up the podcast with completely absurd, off the rails, premature, fun discussion because we just everything we just did was made up. So like, let's make up 10 more minutes of another scenario.
Okay, so let's do this. They try to play football this fall with a Big Ten only schedule, and it just doesn't work. So they decide we're going to play in the spring. And I think there's some momentum for that, but we're just not there yet. But let's pretend we're there. Give me Ohio State's starting backfield on January, whatever is a Saturday, 2021, in their season opener against whoever.
Trey Sermon would still be there, I think. And C.J. Stroud would be the quarterback. Now, we're jumping the gun a little bit because the most fun part of this discussion is how we use the 2021 class. But I would love to see Kyle McCord in there as and have a three-way battle in the purest form for quarterback of the future. Like, I think it would be absurdly painful for the last image for Ohio State fans of Justin Fields to be his hands on his helmet in Fiesta Bowl. But, like, how awesome would a three-headed competition between – and they all start on the same foot, too, because they never practiced before him.
The awesomeness of that would not outweigh the disappointment of not seeing more of Justin Fields, but it still would be awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're talking worst-case scenario here. But it would be interesting because then you all of a sudden – you know what? I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself out of excitement. And let me preface this by saying – and I've been making some phone calls and I have a few interviews done for a story I'm hoping to get done by next week about whether or not programs are equipped to endure the potential of official visits not happening at all this fall. And I've been just asking recruiting coordinators random questions. And one of the questions I've been asking is, should to the 2021 and early enrollees be allowed to play in the season if it's in the spring? And the general response has been they wouldn't be physically ready to play.
Yeah. Like, especially if they don't play a fall football season. Or maybe
yeah,
like, but they'd be more or less ready to play if they played a fall season.
I think
season.
They would be less. Especially because when true freshmen play and they're early enrollees, they usually have a spring to go through in order to physically get ready. Yeah. But I don't know if I 1,000% agree with that because true freshmen play all the time that don't. Did J.K. Dobbins enroll early?
He enrolled early, yeah.
I'm trying to think of like a good example of a true freshman at Ohio State that didn't enroll early and was an impact player. I know Claret did. I don't know. Maybe you somebody will tweet it as, but
that's a good question.
I know that freshmen play. So, but like I think if you like take a look at like what Ohio State's glaring weaknesses are, just in this weird bizarro world, you could fill in some crazy spots with their incoming class. Like I think Tune Mache Adelaide and Jack Sawyer can really give them some answers on the defensive line. I think that Trevion Henderson is the most talented running back that Ohio State signed or will sign since Ezekiel Elliott. I think Kyle McCord being in there and giving Ohio State the best. One of the three quarterbacks that would win that battle would be the next star there. I think one of the three would. So, I mean, I guess we can just play that game of like, depending on how many people leave, you can fit as many people from your class to fill up to get back to 85. I think that's a fair discussion, and I think that's a fair way of handling it, and I think it would be very interesting to see how programs would handle that fake scenario. I don't think that's going to happen, so why don't we close out by saying what the spring roster would look like? Or are we getting way too off? This is like this is the podcast I've been waiting to have.
I know. We've gone back and forth on whether or not we should even entertain the conversation, but we've gone pretty far down the hypothetical road already, so what's the harm in...
And I think people know that we're being completely and utterly hypothetical for entertainment purposes. And you know what? People haven't had any sports. Why can't we just have some fun? Like,
yeah.
we're just having fun.
So the thing...
And like, if you say somebody's not on the roster in the spring, that means you think highly enough of them that they're going to the league. Right. So like, it's not insulting. It's like, I don't think that Sean Wade would play another snap. I don't think that Wyatt Davis would play another snap. I don't think that Justin Fields would play another snap. And I don't even know if Chris Olave would play another snap. Am I forgetting anyone?
No, Josh Myers.
Josh Myers.
Thayer Munford.
Like, I think Ohio State would lose more players than any other program to that
an early NFL draft.
They would be impacted in a significant way. The one thing about that conversation is, like, if you were in their shoes and if I were in their shoes, and I think if most people listening were in their shoes, they would say, like, I would not play. Why would you play? I think it is somewhat dangerous to assume that they would all not play. I think some of them would. Love of the game, improving your draft stock, whatever. I like, you're shaking your head, and I'm telling you, some of them will play. People play in the, I want to drop an F-bomb.
It's
people
a year delay,
people
man.
People play in the Meineke Car Care Bowl for no goddamn reason.
I understand that. When they play in the Meineke Car Care Bowl, they're not delaying their development to professional
if college football plays for a if whole college calendar football year. Plays in the spring, the NFL will change its calendar.
Yeah,
I know they said they wouldn't. They 100% will. They will. And it'll be like, we can all
that's
forget
the, case.
The charade that Ohio State and the NCAA, or the NFL and the NCAA aren't cahoots. But like, the calendar would change. The timeline would change.
If that happens, then I'm willing to agree with you. If the NFL draft is in April 2021, there's a 0% chance any of those names you just named would play.
I would agree with that. I think if college football happens in the spring, I would guess the NFL draft happens in like late May.
Because like, if you think that that's the case... And like, I just don't know the implications of like how important the combine are and the circuit of working out and all the stuff that would have to happen in order for these GMs and these scouts to properly prepare. Maybe it's just they have to do what the college teams are doing, and that's just trust tape. Like, maybe that's the answer. But if there is no NFL draft until the end of that season, so like, what would it be? It would be from March till May? And then the draft is right then?
I think they'd probably start in... If they play in the spring, I bet they would start in February.
Okay, so then you can't play any home games in the Midwest? I mean, it's very snowy in February.
No, I mean, it's not Antarctica.
It's very... It's much more... Well, they don't play certain games at night in November, and it's much more of a blizzardy... atmosphere in February than it is at the end of November.
I think if you wanted to start...
Like, I mean, it's a completely different climate in February.
I think if you wanted to start the last week in November, that's really... Or last week of February, that's really no different than playing in the last week of November.
Okay, so then let's just go your way because you're more of a meteorologist than I am. So, okay, February to when?
I got an F in meteorology, by the way.
It's a class?
Yeah.
I got a B in speech, audio, and MP3. I don't even know what the subject of that class was, but I got a B. And I got an A on nutrition, food, and you, which is ironic because I really could use that knowledge right now because my frat had all the tests. Did you have those like previous tests that you could look at? And the test was the same. So like after the first one, like I studied only the tests and I knew them by heart and I was missing the questions on purpose. I got like a 97 in the class.
Yeah, because you don't want to tip the hand, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's cheating. Is that cheating?
No. It's thriving.
That's using every available resource. It's not my fault that the professor was too lazy to change the test.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
But do you think that's cheating?
No.
I have this debate with everybody.
I mean...
Some people think yes and some people think
no. Maybe it is. Like, by the letter of the law, yeah, it's probably cheating, but like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't think it's cheating. And I paid $50,000 for my degree. It's one class. And honestly, the last laugh's on me because I'm dieting right now. So you go last week of February to May and then draft in mid-May, end May, or June?
Yeah. I guess there's usually a rookie camp in May, right? So that would get pushed back. And OTAs, I guess, might get moved around a little bit. But I think you could do the NFL draft in late May, early June and not lose a whole lot. And then, like, there are guys, it just depends, like say, like, Josh Myers, for instance, and this is, like, dangerously hypothetical, but Josh Myers could help himself somewhat significantly, I think, by playing well this year. I think at the moment, if the draft was tomorrow and Josh Myers was in the draft, maybe a second-round pick, perhaps more likely a third-round pick, I think if he had a good redshirt junior season, he could potentially be a first-round pick, high second-round pick, get a lot of money on his first contract, and, like, that's not nothing. And it's just a matter of if you're a guy like him, like, do the potential benefits of getting more of that guaranteed money outweigh the risk of playing a spring season that maybe you won't get that much out of. And I think that's a legitimate question for a lot of guys. Like, I don't think it's a question for Justin Fields. If the draft was tomorrow, he'd be the number two pick at worst. And if the draft's in June, he'll be the number two pick at worst, I think. But for guys like that, guys who are like back of the first, second, third, fourth round pick trying to get up to day one or trying to get up to day two, I think there is a consideration made to possibly playing in the spring, even if to you and me, that sounds crazy, because why would you do that?
Yeah, and then, of course, we haven't even gotten to the point of what that means for the 2021 season, and like it just kind of goes off the rails. Yeah. But I do think that you, if you convince yourself or you convince me that they would move the NFL draft and then the players that we want to see play this fall would still play, then I think that would be great.
Yeah, I think the draft would have to. I'm not going to tell you. Like, they're not, if the draft is April 26th or whatever, and like that college football season ends April 24th, like, they're not, I don't think those guys would play.
Yeah. I mean, I also just, like, the thing I also don't understand either is we don't know what the climate of the country is going to be in February.
Yeah.
I mean, so we don't like know pushing anything. It back, yeah. And putting, you know, so, but no, I do think that the way to go is our schedule and to play this year if we can do it safely. And I think we solved the mystery there.
That's another thing that Urban says, solve the mystery.
He does?
Yeah, he said it one time. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? This is football.
I've never heard him say that before.
He talked about it like the 2014 team. Like, we solved the mystery. We figured it out. We won a national championship. And I was like, that might be a step too far there, Urbs. But I get it. You're like a master motivator. Whatever, it worked. good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is a master motivator. One last thing before we go. I just want you to know that I was looking at some of the pictures on my phone, just like going through memory lane, and I took one picture from the Smithsonian when Ohio State played at Maryland 4 years ago, and it was a picture of the old Filet-O-Fish container.
Oh, yeah, remember you and I went there. Yeah.
Yeah, remember the fish?
Yep. We also slept in the basement of Doug Lay Maurice's sister's house that was fitted to be a children's play place, and that's where you and I spent the night. We watched Arizona play Oregon on ESPN.
Yeah, and we also wrote stories about Dwayne Haskins after watching a football.
That's right.
And play high school football. And now he's in the NFL playing for DC, and we might not have a football season.
All right. This was intended to be a short podcast, so apologies for it not being that short. Apologies to John Hayes, our producer, who has to put this together and make it sound good and publish it for you guys to hear. But we thought it was important enough, there was enough going on, that we should have talked a little bit about it rather than wait till next week to get into it. So we'll be back next week, early next week, with our normal show. And as we move forward toward a season, who knows what's going to happen. I'm sure we'll be prompted to do more of these impromptu kind of emergency shows too, but at least expect one from us a week. You got two this week. We appreciate you guys listening. Again, we'll ask you if you could please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever. Subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/4-6, gets you 40% off. We always appreciate that. Thank you so much for supporting what we do. Thank you so much for listening to 4-6 with A and B. For Ari, I'm Bill, and we'll catch you guys next week.